All right, our next presentation is Request from On High: Keeping In-House Counsel Out of Hot Water. And our speaker is my colleague Joel Cohen. Joel is a partner in our Global White Collar Practice Group, a former federal prosecutor. He is a trial lawyer who has achieved significant victories pre-trial and at trial in many high-profile matters. He has been lead or co-lead counsel in dozens of civil and criminal trials and is equally comfortable leading confidential investigations, managing crises, or advocating in court. His experience includes all aspects of FCPA anti-corruption issues, insider trading, cross-border tax issues, securities and financial institution litigation, class actions, sanctions, money laundering, and asset recovery, with a particular focus on international disputes and discovery. Joel?
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me? Okay, good. That's a way of making sure you're awake. Well, I'm wearing a tie. I feel like I should take it off because I'm probably making you all feel really uncomfortable, but that would take some time, so I'm going to keep it on if that's okay. So thank you for allowing me to speak to you today. As Sean mentioned, I'm going to talk about the challenges that in-house counsel face. And this is in-house counsel at every level. Anybody who works for an organization, a company, an agency of government, I suppose, as well, thinking about our last presentation, where there are risks that those individuals face personally, but also the organization faces through their work. And I'm going to try to focus on some examples of that. Do I have control of the slides here? Is that what this little thing does? Or are you going to control them? I have it? That's scary. Okay. So you'll have to watch me do two things at once. This might be a real challenge. Now, there are many, many challenges that in-house counsel face. I would say that, and I say this from my years as I was a federal prosecutor many years ago, but I've spent even more time on the defense side. So I've had the opportunity to represent companies, but also to rep and have to interact. When you represent a company and the company has a lawyer, you're effectively reporting to the lawyer. You're dealing with lots of other people within the company, but it's the lawyer for the company that's speaking to the outside lawyer at a law firm, which is the role I play. And so those are the folks you're speaking to frequently on a weekly, several times a week, sometimes several times a day basis, depending on the nature of the problem or crisis they're facing. And I've also represented general counsel because, unfortunately, there are instances where company counsel themselves become the subject of investigations, the kinds of things that you were hearing about from Tony and Rebecca in our last presentation. Regulators and prosecutors and others sometimes bring their focus actually on the lawyers. So we're all lawyers here, so this is the one you got to listen to because you don't want to be in that position. And hopefully there'll be a little bit of information imparted in the next 45 minutes that will be somewhat helpful with that, with evaluating how it's best to do that job. The number one area or sort of dynamic that leads to concerns for lawyers when they work for a company is that they're often wearing two hats or more than two hats. They're acting as a legal counsel, but in many companies, they're also acting as a business advisor or doing something yet again, something else, depending on the size and nature of the organization. And depending on what hat they're wearing or what hats they're wearing at any particular time, in any particular function that they're doing, what they do might or might not be protected by the attorney-client privilege. And that is a critical focus for analyzing the way in which an in-house counsel can protect their company, because it's presumed that when they're having conversations with people within the company and they're of a legal nature, and I'm going to talk about this in a little more detail in a few moments, that those are governed and protected by the attorney-client privilege. But as we've learned from experience and from challenges to that, often what lawyers or people speaking to lawyers in companies think are privileged communications aren't. Courts say they're not. Regulators say they're not. Lawyers in a dispute with the company say they're not. And when they're subjected to scrutiny, they often don't stand up to that scrutiny, and it ends up that some communication that you or someone coming to you as an internal lawyer thought was confidential isn't. And that can create enormous difficulties and challenges of many sorts. So, see if I can make this work.